Have you ever had a day when life slowed you down so hard you could almost hear it stop? I remember one of those days. I was in my car trying to record series one of this podcast. My lungs were feeling a little bit tight from asthma. My voice kept breaking, and I was wheezing through each take, and everything just took longer than it should have. I kept thinking, if I can't even breathe right, then how can I serve? Somewhere between gasps of air and grace, I realized faithfulness isn't flawless. It's showing up when I can't control the conditions. But a few years earlier, God had already tested that truth in a much harder way. It started in the middle of an ordinary workday. I was sitting in my office, having lunch on my desk, computer screen glowing, emails coming in one after another. I had taken a pill for my cramps right before I started eating. But within minutes, my heart began to race like a drum, so loud I could feel it in my throat. At first, I thought it was nothing, maybe something I ate that didn't sit right. Then the heat came in. My skin burned. My hands shook. My throat closed. I couldn't think, but I could feel everything. And then I started to get nervous. But even after all these triggers, I still thought I had it under control. What looked like control was actually collapse. I didn't want to make a scene, so I got up and walked to the bathroom confused. My hand was over my heart. Honestly, I thought, what if this was a heart attack? Even though I never had one, I just didn't know what to expect. I gripped the sink to hold my weight up, and I stared into the mirror. I told myself, you're fine. Just breathe. But isn't it strange how we lie to ourselves by saying, I'm fine, when we're falling apart? I felt flushed, so I splashed water on my face and neck. I was semi-gasping for air and felt lightheaded. And then it hit me. What if I pass out and nobody finds me in time? I thought, oh, no. I can't die here. Not in this bathroom. Somehow I could think clearly and still be naive about what was happening to my body. My body was shutting down, but my mind went into investigator mode. Ever feel like your body is sending you warnings your mind refuses to hear? I told myself, get to people now. So I pushed myself up as quickly as I could and walked toward a little kitchenette in the hallway where there was a water dispenser. Two coworkers were chatting there. I don't know why, but I didn't ask for help. I still didn't want to make a big deal. I honestly thought I had it under control, even though it didn't look like that on the outside. My breathing was inconsistent and fast, and they could see something was wrong. One of them even asked, "Are you okay?" Like so many of us, when we want to handle things on our own, with my shaking cup in hand, I whispered, "I'm fine. I just need some water." But I wasn't. I told myself over and over again I could handle it. Maybe you've done that too, held it together so tight you missed the moment you were breaking. Have you ever heard the world kind of fade out, like someone's turning down the volume? Well, the next few minutes were a blur as I headed toward the conference room. For someone who was thinking clearly, clearly I wasn't. I didn't know it then, but my body was seconds away from shutting down. I remember desperately gasping for air, trying to sit, feeling my throat close tighter, and thankfully, my coworker didn't listen to me. She listened to my body instead and called 911. By the time the paramedics ran in, my vision was fading. They tried to put on a breathing mask, and I kept pulling it off because I couldn't breathe. My body just took over, fighting for its life, while my mind was starting to shut down. And then everything went black. We'll come back to the hospital in a minute, but let me say why I froze. I used to believe that faithfulness meant control, always showing up, proving you can handle more, and keep climbing that ladder. So even though my body screamed for help, my brain kept whispering, "It's okay. You can handle this on your own." That's what we do, isn't it? We confuse strength with self-sufficiency. We say, "I'll move when I'm sure," "I'm waiting on clarity," or "I'll start when I'm ready." But waiting for certainty can be the most dangerous kind of hesitation. Certainty is like a counterfeit version of clarity. So often we freeze because we want to see the full map. We want to see every turn, every outcome before taking the first step. But scripture shows us that God's word says otherwise. His word gives lamps, and lamps don't light the whole path. They provide just enough light before walking to the next lamp, meaning just enough light for the next step. Have you ever thought, if I just had more clarity, then I know what to do? But what if clarity doesn't come before you move? What if it comes as you move? What I didn't know is that faithfulness doesn't wait for ideal conditions. Faithfulness creates them. I learned that sometimes faithfulness looks like stepping down before moving forward. It's not about climbing higher. It's about trusting deeper, realizing you can't control everything, but you can choose to trust. Today, we're going to talk about what happens when God says pause, how he uses stillness to rebuild clarity, and what it means to take your next faithful step when the map goes dark. Welcome to the Brand Fusionist Podcast, where faith, family, business, and brand strategy don't compete. They fuse together into one unstoppable mission. Whether you're a legacy builder raising the next generation, a quiet system thinker, a brand new business builder, or a creative woman navigating your next chapter, you belong here. This is where strategy seeks insight through scripture so multi-passionate women can live boldly without burning out. I'm Magdalena, brand strategist, multi-passionate builder, someone who has lived the tension between motherhood, message, and mission. And I believe you can build with clarity without compromising the people who matter most. Faith, family, future, business with purpose. Let's walk this path together. We're in series 2, Boldness Without Burnout. In episode 6, we redefine boldness. In episode 7, we face the too many ideas tension. In episode 8, we chose small starts to build momentum. Episode 9, we reframed leadership as harmony under God's order. And today, episode 10 closes the loop with faithfulness. What it looks like in real life, and why clarity so often shows up in motion rather than before it. When most of us hear the word faithfulness, the world paints a picture of flawless consistency, always showing up, never missing, never messing up, proving we can keep it all together. But the word shows us something different, that faithfulness is not flawless performance, it's steady trust. Psalms 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God gives light for your feet, not lights for miles ahead, but just enough for the next step. Hebrews 11 verse 8 says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going." God called Abraham to go out without the whole map. He had no timeline, no GPS back then either. In Isaiah 30, verse 21 says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it." That voice often comes as you walk, not because God withholds direction, but because faith grows through movement. But here's something I discovered. God doesn't lead every heart the same way. He meets us where we most need him. Let's consider Moses and Abraham. In Exodus chapter 2, we read about Moses. One day, when Moses was growing up, he learned that he was born a Hebrew and begins to identify with his people. When he sees an Egyptian hurting one of them, he had a desire to make it right. In that moment, he acted on his own strength and killed the Egyptian and hid his body out of fear of the consequences. When the Pharaoh finds out, Moses ran and hides in Midian. He was afraid, ashamed, and unsure of the outcome. Moses reveals himself with fear and self-doubt. Later, we read when God calls on Moses from a burning bush and says, "Go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go." But Moses hesitates in each response. Let's take a look. "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" This is found in Exodus 3, verse 11. Here he shows insecurity and unworthiness. Then he says, "What if they don't believe me or listen to me?" Found in Exodus 4, verse 1. Here he's showing fear of rejection. Next he says, "I am slow of speech and tongue." Found in Exodus 4, verse 10. Here he shows self-perceived inability. And lastly, he says, "Please send someone else." Found in Exodus 4, verse 13. Here he shows hesitation. That pattern of burden, failure, and fear reveals that Moses had shame. He was afraid. He said all kinds of excuses, even though he cared deeply about his people. But he doubted himself. But even after failing the first time, God gave him very clear instructions because Moses needed encouragement to move. It was God's way of saying, "You're not doing this alone. I'll go with you." Now, compare that to Abraham. God said, "Go to the land I will show you." Abraham had no timeline, no GPS, just a promise. Now, why were their stories so different? Because Abraham wasn't living with fear like Moses was. He was comfortable, meaning he was secure and established. He wasn't running from anything like Moses was. Abraham was just being asked to leave comfort behind. His test wasn't courage, it was trust. God didn't give him the whole map because every step was meant to build a relationship, not a routine. Moses needed instruction before motion. Abraham needed motion before revelation. God gave Moses a clear map because he was afraid. And God gave Abraham a compass because he was secure. One needed assurance, the other needed dependence. Both still found faithfulness, but one through courage and the other through trust. That's still how God works today. Sometimes he gives you the map all at once to calm your fear. Other times he hands you a compass and says, "Trust me with the rest." Faithfulness isn't about flawless steps. It's about trusting the shepherd, which is God, who goes before you and stays with you. Clarity often arrives one step at a time, where your step meets his direction, in his timing, not yours. Is God handing you a map or a compass? So what does this mean for you and me? That God uniquely meets each person's heart resistance. Faithfulness is trusting God enough to take the next right step, even when you can't see the whole picture. It's not perfect performance. It means believing God meets you in motion, not after you have it all figured out. It means you know who's holding the flashlight and you're trusting and believing that God will meet you there. Many women pause right here. You see, you've probably done the mindset work from series one and practice boldness in this series too, but you still feel stuck. Waiting to feel confident before you start. Let me say this gently. Confidence doesn't come first. It grows after faithful steps. Think of confidence like a muscle. Trust is the movement that builds it. Confidence isn't the fuel, it's the fruit. Waiting on clarity often masks fear. It hides a quieter fear, the fear of making the wrong step, and it shows up differently for each of us. For singles, you're probably switching ideas again. Waiting to be sure before you commit. For the ones who are married without kids, the promotion you prayed for is here and it's exciting, but the cost may be more time at work and less presence at home. For married with little ones or homeschooling, you craft the perfect schedule only to have it changed again the following week. None of this means you're failing in any way. It means real life happens and you're just trying to keep up. But the cost of endless planning isn't just time. It's presence with the people and work God already entrusted to you. I love a good plan, but when we plan forever to get it right, we miss what's right in front of us. Presence is where clarity actually grows. For me, everything stopped one ordinary day. I thought productivity was faithfulness. Then an emergency just sent me to the hospital and changed my life. In that stillness, my picture of faithful changed. I learned clarity isn't something you chase. It's something God forms in you when you're still enough to listen, trust, and follow. That season taught me something I'll never forget, that the same God who walks with you in motion will also meet you in stillness. Have you ever watched a spider weave its web? It's slow, strand by strand, but the pattern takes shape if you wait for it. Up close, it looks tangled, right? But when you step back, you see it's perfectly connected, every line serving a purpose, every thread anchored to something stronger. It reminds me of Charlotte's Web. It's one of my favorite books when I was younger. The pig couldn't see the web forming, but from where Charlotte sat, she could see the design taking shape. That's how God weaves our assignments. From up close, it can look like a mess of overlapping roles: mother, leader, creative, daughter, dreamer. It's all carefully designed. From God's perspective, it's one masterpiece, a web of purpose, timing, and connection. Our job isn't to control the pattern, it's to keep showing up in the thread he's weaving today. I recorded series one in my car, and I re-recorded in my basement. You might be able to hear some imperfections if you go back and listen, but showing up with what you have is often the most faithful start you can make. Perfection chases control, presence welcomes connection. In a moment, I'll share the rest of my hospital story, what happened after I woke up, and show you how to take the next faithful step to help you move from stuck to steady. Let's go through the three B's to guide us. The block, what actually holds us back, the breakthrough, the truth that opens your next step, and the brand vision, what faithfulness looks like in real life. I'll speak to four lanes: single, working wife, working mom who wants to come home, and homeschool mom. Here's the block. I need to feel ready before I move. I need the full plan before I start. Does that sound familiar? I mean, that sounds wise. It sounds safe, but most of the time it freezes us. That's what I call paralysis by perfection. It's when you keep waiting to feel ready, but deep down you're actually afraid of what might go wrong. To the single woman, it might sound like, I'll start that YouTube channel once I know exactly who my audience is. For the working wife, I'll start that side business when my schedule slows down. For the mom with little ones, I'll move when the numbers and timing are perfect. And for the homeschool mom, I'll create when the house is organized and the budget is safer. Do you see the pattern? In simple words, it's waiting for a perfect moment that never comes. Now, you might be thinking, but isn't planning good? And yes, it is. Scripture praises wisdom and preparation. But the problem isn't about planning. It's postponing obedience while waiting for a version of ready that never comes. Psalms 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A lamp only shines a few steps ahead, not the whole highway." Faith means moving with the light you have, not waiting for daylight to come. Now here's the breakthrough. Clarity grows in motion. Obedience is a simple word. Do the good you already know to do. Jesus says in John 7 verse 17, "If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know." Understanding often comes after the faithful step. You might be thinking, but what if I step wrong? Isaiah 30 verse 21 says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it." God gently redirects. He guides while you walk, not while you wait. So let's picture what faithfulness looks like in small, steady, doable ways. For the single woman who's full of ideas, you don't have to have a business to do this, but you can start with sharing one message that reflects what you care about. I'm not asking you to launch anything, just your next step. For example, you could post one 60-second video sharing a single message you care about. For the working wife that's struggling with promotion versus presence, if the schedule is crowding your marriage, faithfulness may look like one honest conversation and one guarded evening a week. Guard what's precious to you. Example, schedule a 30-minute values meeting with your spouse and name two nights that must stay honored if you accept that role. For the married mom who works full-time but dreams of having a home business, you feel that tug of war, wanting to build a business from home so you can be more present. You're running the numbers, praying over timing, and asking for clarity, but clarity isn't going to come on paper. It's going to come through faithfulness. So for you, maybe you pilot a 4-week, 30-minute Saturday block to concentrate on one offer or one channel or one customer to see how that helps you build your business. And for the homeschool mom, you already wear so many hats. Although you might think faithfulness means more, it might mean being more present with what's already in your hands. For example, create one 45-minute focus block, test it this week, and if you have to, adjust it next week. Here's the peace check. Does this step draw me nearer to God and honor the people He already entrusted to me? If yes, it's a faithful step, even if it looks small. And here's where I had to take my own peace check. Let me tell you the rest of my hospital story. When I finally opened my eyes, I was in a hospital bed. I didn't know it was days later. A tube was down my throat. Machines were beeping. My wrists were taped. My mind was awake, but my body felt like it belonged to someone else. It felt numb. All I could hear was my heartbeat filling the quiet room. I was in shock. I was trying to replay the moments before as if it were hours ago, but it had been about 4 days later. When they finally removed the tube, I was able to walk slowly to the bathroom. I caught my reflection and didn't even recognize myself. My eyes were bloodshot from lack of oxygen, like a white mouse with red eyes. Then the doctors came in. Yes, that's plural. It was a team, probably like seven doctors surrounding my bed, asking questions and tossing out theories. It felt like the TV show House. Have you seen it? They didn't understand what happened. Neither did I. My throat was sore, so I could only whisper my answers, and the whole event just became guessing and searching for answers that never quite made sense. When the experts don't know, what do you hold on to? You know what I mean? But I understood this. I was alive when I shouldn't have been. My husband told me later that they didn't think I'd make it, and if I did, my brain might not function the same. Even my pastor with medical training told him to prepare for the worst. My oxygen had dropped so low, nobody thought I'd recover fully. Yet in their shock, there I was, blinking, breathing, thinking. I play back this story and I still can't believe it's my story. God had other plans for me. In my quiet hospital room, when I was left alone, I just listened to my breathing go in and out of my lungs. I stared into space just thinking and prayed. I felt something that I hadn't felt in years. Stillness. Not the tired kind that comes from exhaustion and confusion, even though I was confused about the whole situation, but the kind that makes you feel alive. A calm silence that told me God had me in his hand even after everything. And when everything stops, what starts speaking? Well, in that stillness, I knew I had to make decisions I should have made sooner. I had been chasing success, climbing the corporate ladder, proving my worth by how much I could handle. If I just worked harder, stayed longer, pushed further, one more yes, one more title, I thought the higher I climbed, I'd be freer, more time for family, because success would open up my schedule. But I worked long hours. I was a new wife and a new mom. My heart was at home, but my body lived at the office. And in that pursuit, I had forgotten who gives breath in the first place. I had been living like everything depended on me. And God, in His mercy, let everything stop so I could finally see who truly held me. Right there in that hospital bed, I gave my life back to Him. Like Carrie Underwood sings, "Jesus, Take the Wheel." Have you heard that song? I said, "Lord, I'm yours. Use me how you will. Give me wisdom in the process. If you're giving me another breath, show me how to use it for your purpose." That was the day the fog lifted. It felt like God pressed pause on a life that had been stuck. I was climbing the wrong wall. I had said before, family first, but I was chasing a path that pulled me away from them. God didn't just spare my life, He rebuilt my sight. Success had become my safety, not stewardship. I had to step back to see 10 steps ahead, to discern the season God had me in. God used that hospital bed to reset my direction. I thought success meant climbing higher. He showed me faithfulness means looking deeper. It's strange. When you're forced to be still, you finally see what was moving too fast. I learned that faithfulness sometimes looks like stepping down before you can move forward. Each night, I would come home to a quiet house. My husband didn't have time after work to cook, and so he would eat at his parents' house with our son. Sometimes he would arrive home with our son asleep, and other times it was bath, bottle, and bed. And in the nighttime silence, my heart would ache as months passed the same way. I would whisper to myself as I was rocking him, "Is this what motherhood is going to be like?" You see, I thought the miracle was that I survived because everyone was surprised that I did. But God wasn't done yet. He was about to test what I learned. When I recovered and went back to work, I tried to fit back into the old rhythm for the sake of getting my projects done on time. But I was thinking, if you survive a storm, do you go back to the shore that sent you there? But as the days got longer, everything inside me resisted, and that was it. One afternoon, without a plan, I talked to my supervisor. My heart was pounding again. This time, not from fear, but from the thought of freedom. I was emotional and cried. I said, "I'm quitting. I can't do this anymore. It's been a long time coming, and I can't wait for my exit plan. My notice is 30 days." And that was it. I left that room with tears, but relief. I finally said it, and the weight lifted. That evening, I walked out of the building and called my husband, emotional again, but this time with joy. He thought something terrible had happened, so I reassured him I was fine. I said, as best as I could remember, "Nothing bad happened. I just quit. I'm coming home to stay. Everything is going to be okay. I trust God and His plan for us." Yes, it was scary. We didn't have every answer about what would happen after those 30 days, but peace replaced panic and faith replaced fear. Boldness with God doesn't start with doing more, it starts with trusting more. For me, I thought I lost my breath, but God used it to teach me how to breathe. Maybe you've been measuring yourself by milestones, promotions, projects, progress, but God measures differently. He looks at the heart posture. The world values ladders, God values roots. He refines you. Psalms 138, verse 8 says, "The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me." Let's anchor all of this in four verses. Psalms 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Remember that God gives enough light for the next step. Hebrews 11, verse 8, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out, not knowing where he was going." Remember that faithfulness is trust before understanding. Isaiah 30, verse 21, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" Remember, God guides as you walk and redirects you with love. John 7, verse 17 says, "If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God." Remember, clarity grows through doing God's will, not just thinking harder. Faith is like a compass, not a map. It won't show you every turn, but it keeps you oriented to your true north. So now, let's bring this home to you. Maybe you haven't faced a hospital bed, but maybe you felt breathless in your own way, drowning in expectations, noise, or worry. What's one small step you've delayed because you thought you needed clarity first? Grab your notebook if you can and list the tasks, the roles, or fears that steal your peace. Underline what God has already entrusted to you in this season. Everything else, lay it down. Sometimes the bravest move isn't climbing the ladder, it's stepping off to breathe and realign. Let Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7 guard you. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That's what I learned on the day everything stopped. And I wouldn't trade that lesson for any title or any paycheck. If you've been waiting for the full plan before moving, let this be your reminder. God meets you in the step. Birds don't see the wind, but they trust the lift. Faith is learning to trust what you can't see and having God carry you when the map disappears. Friend, you've learned that boldness isn't noise, it's presence. You've seen how clarity builds through faithful motion, not from having all the answers. Momentum wasn't perfection. Leadership wasn't hustle. Faithfulness is steady trust, step by step with God. Clarity doesn't come before you move. It often comes as you move. As we close this series, remember, the same God who called you to build is faithful to complete what He began. Next, we'll talk about identity, how to quiet comparison, and find your voice as a multi-passionate woman of faith. Faith, family, future, business with purpose. This is the Brand Fusionist Podcast.